Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. I wanted to give you a good news report. As you'll see at the business meeting on this coming Sunday night, and everybody needs to come to the business meeting. This is where you get the chance to find out what's going on and be a part of the decision making. And we're excited. Of course, I cratered the outreach budget for the month of December, but I will tell you that what we did was we did a mass mail out to Island Creek on Sunday morning. Andy Bulgotti was here, and he had his little card that we'd sent him from the church inviting him to church. And this morning he and I had tea, and Guy gave him the gospel. And now he still has a lot of questions, so we'll be starting a Bible study with him next Monday morning at his own kitchen table. You know, that's how I was reached, was the pastor came to my house, sat at my kitchen table, opened a Bible, and walked me through it. And that's, so Andy's got questions. You pray for him. He's a sweet man, and he is seeking the truth from God. And just continue to pray. Each month we want to do a mail out to a different section of our city that does not welcome people going door to door. You wouldn't believe it living here in Kingstown, but at Island Creek they have huge signs that say the no distribution of printed materials of any kind. And as much as we have First Amendment rights, there's no point in poking the bear when there's another reason or another way to get the gospel in their hands. So continue to pray for us. Our next goal is to blanket Fort Belvoir in the same way as we're leading up to Easter and then, of course, for Vacation Bible School. Psalm 78, verse 9 through 11, verse 9, 10, and 11. Let's go ahead and read that out loud together as a family, please. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Let us pray. Father, bless now. Help us, God. Help us to see the need and to take the lead as only You can. Do it through us, O God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in Arkansas planning that church, I was working a secular job in the medical field, and we were doing medical sales. And so since I was the only one on staff at Little Rock that did not have a Southern accent, I was given the state of New York. And so I started to make phone calls into New York every single day, 5 days a week. You'd make about 100, 100 and a half. 150 calls a day just talking to New Yorkers about the medical supplies that we were providing and what have you. And so then the boss said, listen, I need you to travel. I need you to go there. And so here I am. I'm not a hillbilly, but I definitely am a hick. And you should have seen me the first time I flew in to New York City. And it became a monthly occurrence to where every month I'd end up getting up, preaching all day Sunday morning and Sunday night, and getting up at 3 in the morning and then getting to Little Rock Airport because my flight would leave at 6. So you'd get there early and you'd check in, and man, you're the only people there that early in the morning, but I could get a direct flight to Newark, New Jersey. So one morning I got up and I was there, and I had this big tote bag full of pens and stuff because it always got searched because on X-ray, those pens look like 50 caliber bullets, you know. So every time I went through the security, there was always one of those slips of papers of how TSA was ministering to me and looking through my things. That's fine. I'm all for it. But one day I'd gotten there and I was early and we were ready to get on the plane and we're all lined up. We all got our coffee in one hand and the only thing open at that morning was McDonald's that early in the morning at the Little Rock Airport. So you had your McDonald's hamburger, your whatever, your breakfast sandwich of choice and your coffee and at that time I didn't have a phone that you did your boarding pass. I had a boarding pass in my hand and I'd be standing there and we waited, and sure enough, the clock says, you know, it says we're going to be boarding in just a few minutes, and then it says boarding now, and of course, nobody's boarding. We're all standing in line. Of course, I've got priority access because by that time, I'm becoming a frequent flyer, so I'm in front of the line. I'm just kind of waiting, like, what's going on? And the lady said, well, we're going to have to cancel this flight. And I said, ma'am, you don't understand. I have an appointment at 11 o'clock at Staten Island. I got just enough time to get my car and get all across the bridge. And she said, I'm sorry, this flight is canceled due to lack of crew. And I said, I thought I saw the pilots go by. She said, the pilots went by, but the crew isn't here. The steward and the stewardess. And I said, well, I can do without the coffee if you'll just put us on the plane. And she said, no, I'm sorry. We do not fly without a full crew. And she said, this flight, you will be put on the next flight at 7:30. And she said, but this flight is canceled due to lack of crew. It's frustrating when you've got plans to be somewhere. Frustrating when you have appointments stacked and people expecting you. To find out that, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the girls partied too late the night before or they got, but they hadn't made it in from the hotel. You know, sometimes you're waiting for the plane to get here so you can get on the plane that's going to get here so you can go off to the next place. We were the first ones on the plane. I don't even think they defrosted the windows yet. Waiting for the stewardess and the steward to get there. Kind of frustrating when somebody else holds up your plans. If you've ever had that happen, you know what I'm talking about. You know, one of the great things about God is if you know the Lord as your Savior, you've got a destination wedding planned. You're going to make it. You're going to get there. God's already scheduled this fabulous destination called heaven. It says in John chapter 14, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. What a place that's going to be. Can you imagine? It is so awesome. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, that eye hath not seen. It means nobody's ever seen anything like it. Nor ear heard. Nobody's ever been able to relate how awesome it is. Nor entered into the heart of man. That's your imagination. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor enter the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him. I mean, this destination God has planned for you is so awesome, you can't even imagine it. Why, if you'll take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 21, God kind of tells us about this. I call it a destination wedding because when we go, when we get there, we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 18. And the building and the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the walls of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then he goes through this long list of stones. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. What a fabulous place. This is going to be better than the Sandals Resort. This is going to be awesome, isn't it? It's going to be incredible how awesome heaven is. I've heard many messages on heaven. It's going to be heaven because Jesus is there. It's going to be heaven because God the Father's there. It's going to be heaven because the angels are there. It's going to be heaven because of the Spirit's going to be there. And your loved ones, the new Christ is their Savior, is there. It's going to be heaven because there's going to be no sin. It's going to be heaven because there's going to be wonderful music. It's going to be heaven because there'll be a supper you'll get to eat. It'll be heaven because no one will age. Amen. The ever-present now. You will be outside of time. Time is a construct of God. You and I are bound by time. We're the slaves of time. We're the servants of time. We are stuck. But once there, we will not be. We'll all be young. Nobody in heaven has bad knees. Nobody in heaven has hip replacement. Nobody in heaven walks with a cane. Nobody in heaven needs an oxygen tank. Nobody in heaven has a wheelchair or a walker. It's going to be awesome when we get to the destination God has for us. Did you know God has already filed the flight plan? Take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. Listen to what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that is the Bible reference to someone who has died and Christ has not returned yet, is sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're going to go at the same time. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. As I said, one of the reasons why heaven's going to be so great, we're going to have this reunion with our loved ones again. And he filed that flight plan there. He also expounded on what that's going to be like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 is the more detailed flight plan of God's, of our trip to heaven. In verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. By the way, that is the theme verse for our nursery ministry. Excuse me. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's fast, at the last trump. I do not believe President Trump is the Trump they're talking about here. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It says, for this corruptible, this body who falls apart. I had a conversation with somebody this week who's just been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and this person was very, very concerned and had some questions about heaven, had some questions about the transition, had questions about dying and what's coming next. And it opened the door for an opportunity for the gospel. And it's great to know that this body that goes in the ground will not be the body that goes into heaven. Isn't that awesome? Right? Isn't it great? I was putting away Christmas decorations on Sunday here at the church, and I found that gas pipe, and I found it with my top of my head, and I lost some real estate. I'm probably going to have a spot there now. The rest of the hairs are probably going to abandon the fallen. But anyhow, we're not going to have this same old body that falls apart when we get to heaven. We're going to be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the flight plan to heaven has already been filed with God. There's only one airline to get there, by the way. Did you know that? Only one airline. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There's only one way in, and I don't want to call it Messiah Air or Jesus Air, but it is going to be good. Look at Acts 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there's only one flight. There's only one flight of going, and that's Christ. You know, in John chapter 11, when Jesus was confronted by Martha on the road in to Bethany, he hadn't even got into town yet. And Martha had come out to talk to him and said, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know he'll rise again at the judgment at the last day. And Jesus said unto her in verse 25 of John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Then whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now he asked her a question right there. Many people stop reading right there. Do you see that next phrase that's there? Believest thou this? You know, you can't make people believe. You can't make people believe. You can't make them. But we can tell them the truth about what's coming. So God has filed the flight plan. He's already paid the airfare. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. You've heard me preach on this exact verse here recently. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Look what the Bible reads. For he hath made him, that's for God the Father hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You've heard other verses like this. You've heard of Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He already paid the fare. I had a conversation with a man today and gave him the gospel. And I tried to explain to him that all the world's religions are man-made, are all works-based. That you have somehow have to earn points. Aren't you glad in God's heavenly flight, you do not have to earn sky miles to get to heaven? Isn't that awesome? God has already paid the fare. You know, you get these coupons, and they're offering you 3 days and 2 nights and in some exotic location. They've given you a coupon, and when you get the coupon, it says there's no cash value to this.
You know, the devil always wants us to do coupons when it comes to heaven. He wants to devalue the things of God so it's more palatable to us. But God's already paid the fare, lock, stock, and barrel. That's why it says, for the wages of sin is death. Yes, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus paid it all. There's no sky miles. But my concern, all that was introduction, because my concern is because there's going to be probably billions and billions of people who are going to miss their flight to heaven due to a lack of crew. 1 second after Jesus comes, there'll be people standing wondering what happened. They missed their flight. I know what it's like to miss a flight. I've run the entire length of an airport many times trying to get. I don't understand why I can't come in at this gate and go out the same gate. That plane is going to leave, right? Can it go where I'm going, or can I? You know, I've never had that happen. I've never had, not one time have I ever flew in on a plane and they went, "Oh, you can stay, Mr. Mix. We're going to go on to your next place. Just stay right there." Never had that. I always have to run the entire length of the airport for some silly reason. You know, with God, I'm concerned that there is going to be a billions and billions of people who don't make their flight for lack of crew. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 9 and verse 36. We'll get back to Psalms in a minute. But Matthew 9 and verse 36, look what the Bible reads. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, you don't have to go very far to stand in a crowd like that. Whether it's a high school basketball game or a choir concert or even some something going on in D.C. or even here in our local area. You don't got to go very far. Go down to the mall and just look around. You'll be standing in a crowd of people who are like sheep without a shepherd, who are lost and have no concept of the way to heaven. Will they make their flight? Will they get their fair pay? Will they get to heaven? Imagine when the world's over and they stand at the great white throne judgment, will there be a sign that said, "I'm sorry, my flight was canceled due to lack of crew"? It says here, then said he to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Pray for laborers. Pray for crew. You know, the lack of crew in the kingdom of God is a very real problem today. It's a terrible problem. Take your Bible, go to Psalms 142 and verse 4. Psalm 142 and verse 4. Psalm 142 and verse 4. Listen to what the psalmist said. Now, this is a psalm of masculine of David. It says in verse 4, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me." That means nobody paid attention or cared about me or my plight or my need, my condition. "And refuge failed me. I found no place of refuge. No man cared for my soul." In the kingdom of God, there is a lack of crew due to apathy. I don't know why those young ladies were late getting to the airport that day that flight was canceled. I don't know what caused them to not. Maybe they had a flat, but they'd taken a taxi. Maybe they woke up late. Maybe the power went off in that plug in their phone or their whatever they're using for an alarm clock didn't go off or didn't get charged. I don't know. But it seemed like to the 200 people that were standing there waiting to fly out of Little Rock, we're like, maybe it was 150. We're all like, "What? Does anybody care what we've got waiting for us?" You know, in the kingdom of God, there's a real lack of crew. There's a real lack of workers. And sometimes it's just because we're so self-consumed in what's going on in our world, we don't
Pay attention to what's going on around us.
A person I talked to recently that was diagnosed with cancer said to me, "Did God do this to me to get my attention?" I said, "Well, listen, no, sin is what makes us sick and die. But God will use it for your good." He sat there and he thought about it for a minute. I know a lot of times we've got a lot going on in our lives. We've got deadlines to keep and quotas to beat and another promotion to look for, and there's always requests for bids and things that you've got to do. I understand. Plus all the things at home, you know, and it's frustrating. You go outside and you got a flat, or the car reminds you haven't changed the oil in a while, and you're like, I got so much going on. But if we take for a second and put ourselves in the shoes of those people we rub shoulders with on the metro or at the mall or at where you work, put yourself in their shoes for a second and imagine the flight comes and leaves for heaven. Did we get so self-consumed we forgot to tell somebody else? Sometimes there's a real problem with a lack of crew in the kingdom of God because of absence. We're just, the Christians aren't there. We don't have anybody there to make a chance to witness. There's just not somebody there. In Ezekiel 22, listen to what it says in Ezekiel 22. And I'll tell you right now, if you want a good study, Brother Walker's Sunday school classes in Ezekiel right now on Sunday mornings. What an awesome opportunity to study prophecy and what's coming. Look at Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. There's a real absence of crew. There's just not enough people to go around. Verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none." There's just nobody there. You know how few churches there are in Maine or Montana, Nebraska? How few churches there are. But then you think about the few churches per capita in Loudoun County or Orange County or Fairfax County. Sometimes there's just a real shortage of crew. There's nothing sinful other than there just isn't there. Because when you read the New Testament, you find out that it's needed. In Acts, if you'll take your Bible, go to the book of Acts and listen to what the Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts 8. In Acts 8 and verse 30 and 31, Philip runs up to him and says, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" At least the man got the gospel in his hand. He's reading the book of Isaiah. But the sad part is he was in Jerusalem during Pentecost and wasn't saved. Now think about that for a minute. You're talking about 3,000 people got saved in one day. You're talking about people speaking in tongues. Peter and James making a big old stir, or Peter and John healed the lame man at the gate a few days later. By Acts 8, you've got an Ethiopian eunuch with the book of Isaiah leaving town, hadn't heard the gospel. And Philip runs up and says, "You know what you're reading?" And he says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Verse 30 and verse 31, he says, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" There's a real shortage of crew in the kingdom of God. In John 5 and verse 7, Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda. There's a man laying there, and he said, "Would you be healed?" And he said, "Sir, when the water is troubled, there's no man to put me in the water, no man to help me." You know, the needs are varied, but the needs are there. Turn back to Psalm 78, our text verse tonight. There is a need for crew in the kingdom of God. And there's a real lack of it. In Psalm 78 and verse 9, the Bible says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carried bows, turned back in the day of battle." Why? Listen, tough times don't make Christians, they reveal. Oh, you do get stronger through the trials. I admit that. That's true. My prayer life has gone deeper and deeper with each trial. But it also reveals it.
They had a will that was their own rather than God's. Look at verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his laws. They had what I would refer to as an aborted will. It wasn't their will to do God's will. It wasn't in them to do God's will. It wasn't their walk with God. And as bad as we want people to be saved, especially our loved ones, I'm afraid to admit sometimes that they're actually lost. We hope, we wish, we think, well, maybe. But if it isn't in them to do it, it's because he isn't in them to do it. They're lost. There's a real lack of crew. You know, think of Judas Iscariot. He had the best teacher, the best preacher, the best church, best access to the scriptures anybody's ever had. And he was armed, he was trained, and he turned back. In verse 10 there, they also had an abandoned walk. Look what it says here in verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. You know, it's not enough to know stuff and have stuff. That's not enough. That's what verse 9 says. They had bows and arrows. They had what they needed to do the battle for the Lord. They had the talent, but they were not faithful in their daily walk. You know, we expect lost folks to show their true colors at some point, but the truth is us born-again believers can get tired and quit when we stop walking with God every day. You know, before somebody stops coming to church and serving God in the church, that's when we see it. By the time that happens, they've already a long time ago quit reading their Bible, quit walking with God, quit tithing. They've stopped loving their spouse. By the time we see it, by the time they come to us, I'm not coming back, all of it's gone away. A real walk with God comes with a desire to serve God. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, which is our theme verse for 2020, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, God did not save you to sit. He did not. He did not save you to just exist on this planet and be just focused completely on your own little life. God saved you to serve. Look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. What's interesting to me is the fact that sometimes we as Christians, we feel like we're alone where we are. We're kind of carrying the water on our own. But it's not true. God's got people we're not aware of, and God's working through them. But every time we walk in faithfulness, we are proving God's will, not only to ourselves, but to the people around us. Look, I'll show you. Romans chapter 12. You've heard verse 1 and 2 before. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To say to God, here I am. You need crew? I'm here. You've got needs at this church? I'm here. When the Lord picks you up and moves you to another city, you should walk into a Bible-believing fundamental church and go, hey, I'm here. I'm here. Assign me a job. I am here to serve. It's my reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind. Why? That you may prove. Prove what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace of God given unto me that every man among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's why I said whoever the Lord allows us to hire here, they need to understand that there is no ministry beneath them. Whether it's children or older folks or anything in between. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man according to the measure of faith. As you go on and read all the way down to verse 8, what you find out is that we're to be using our gifts and talents that God has given us. Look at verse 5, or verse 4. For we are members, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And he goes on and he talks about how that we were saved and given gifts and talents because God has now have a job for you. Remember what we talked about, our purpose for the church is to raise up successive generations of self-growing, serving adult Christians. That's what we're trying to do in our children's ministry. We believe in children's ministry. Why? Because we want those kids to have their own walk with God, to discover their destiny that God has for them, and to fulfill it, not just as a teenager, but as an adult for the rest of their natural lives. That is what it is. There's a huge lack of crew in the kingdom of God. But why here in Psalm 78 why did they fail? In the New Testament it says in 2 Timothy 4:10, some of the saddest words it says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed. What would have been written in the halls of eternity had Demas stayed faithful? What could have God done? You know, when we walk with God, that's that daily walk. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. You know, I was reading through the creation again, getting ready for Sunday, and it says Noah walked with God. And in Genesis 7 and verse 1, listen to what God says to Noah. He says, come thou and all thy house in the ark for thee. That's you, Noah. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah walked with God. He did it every day. It wasn't in spurts. It was every day. When you go back to Psalm 78, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carried bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his laws and forgot his works. They forgot his works and all the things he'd done and his wonders that they had showed him. You know, the minute you start to lose track of all the things God's done for you, it's not hard to be cynical. It's not hard to be self-focused. It's not hard to be bitter. It's not hard to be depressed. You don't got to look very far if all you're doing is looking inside. But if you stop and take a moment and start to list all the things God's done for you, you'll start to see God has been faithful. Don't lose the wonder of salvation like these people did. Don't lose that. Don't ever get over the fact that you are saved. Don't ever get over the fact that God listens every time you pray and God answers. Don't lose the wonder that God is so good to you. I had a conversation this Sunday with somebody in my class and I said, you got to walk with God a while before that verse in Psalm says, God is good, period. Got to walk with God a while. But when you do, you realize that's a true statement all the time. To think you and I have the opportunity to be faithful and we've got the opportunity to be good to God as he's good to us. And don't lose the wonder of God's power. But I kept thinking as I read through this section of Scripture, there was a lack of crew in this battle. The children of Ephraim were armed, carrying bows, turned back. Why? Well, I look at verses 1 through 8 of this same psalm, and I realize this is why they turned back. Look at verse 1 in Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. This is God speaking. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their children to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers. Maybe they won't make the same mistakes their fathers did. A stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. In Psalm 71 and verse number 18, listen to what the Bible reads. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. You know, I cannot overstate the importance of the children's ministries at First Baptist Church of Kingstown. We cannot abdicate our responsibility, though, as parents either, to spiritually teach and train our children. And you know, no matter how old we get, I love that phrase in Psalm 71 and verse 18. He says, and when I'm old and gray-headed, I already have a retirement plan, and it isn't golf, and it isn't fishing. Well, not for fish anyway. It's fishing for people. Because when I'm old and gray, and maybe I can't pastor anymore, I still intend to win souls. And I can sit in a wheelchair just as easily as I can sit in a dining room chair. And I can teach the Bible. And I can tell others about Christ. There's a real lack of crew in the kingdom of God. And billions will miss their flight because of a lack of crew. You know, you and I serve on Ambassador Airlines. I can't imagine. I hear it in my head that over the loudspeaker, Ambassador Airlines Flight 777, nonstop to heaven, canceled due to lack of crew. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how busy your life gets during the day or during the evening. Whether you work weekends, nights, or mornings. If we'll remember, we're part of the crew. Sometimes just showing up is more than folks can imagine. But if we show up ready to serve, imagine what can get done. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carried bows, turned back. Why? They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. Why? Because they forgot. They forgot the works and the wonders that God had showed them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you died today, can you remember back when you booked your ticket? Can you remember when you called upon Jesus Christ and He saved you? Whether it was morning or evening, whether it was in Sunday school, church, or in your bedroom, or in a car. Maybe it was in your college dorm room. Maybe it was in VBS or at camp. Do you remember when that got booked? When you called upon Christ, weren't you glad there was crew there to help you? How could you know except some man guide you and someone was there? Have you been guiding people to Jesus Christ? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In eternity right now is a 4'10" little lady named Laura Mail. Laura Mail was this little lady who served the Lord faithfully her entire life at the First United Methodist Church of Granville, Illinois. And she used to pat me on the head and say I was a good boy, but she's the one who gave me my first Bible. Now, she passed when I was a teenager. She wasn't alive to see me going to get saved and get in the ministry. But I like to think that on the other side of heaven's portal, she cheers me on. But I often think to myself, who's taken her place? Who else is filling that role of steward or stewardess? That role of guiding people and meeting their needs, whether physical or emotional, but also spiritual. Who else is using these other opportunities to bring the spiritual truth of the gospel? In the next few moments, won't you ask the Lord what it is He would have you do in His kingdom? How long has it been since you told somebody about how you got saved? How long has it been since you used one of the tracts and invited people to church? How long has it been since you looked up from your present condition to see the condition of those around you? Our Father, as we leave this place tonight, we recognize that we're part of the crew, that we're part of something larger than ourselves. And Father, how that many, many have yet to hear about heaven and Calvary and the precious blood of Christ and the free gift of everlasting life, forgiveness and salvation, grace and eternity. And Father, they wait for someone to guide them. Father, let us be your ambassador. Let us be your crew. And as we leave this place, Father, let us see people as Christ saw them. And Father, may we feel what he felt and care as he did. And Father, may others come to know you as their Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.